Thank you, Dennis. Good morning, everybody. I'm not actually going to talk too much about the one that we did there in Maricopa that Jeff just did because there's some need that's only 3 meters in diameter, and there's a lot of interest out there in being able to make those things bigger and able to get more plant material in them. It's a little bit of background. The very first experiment that was done with infrared heating out in the field was done up in Colorado on those native plants out there. That experiment was started in 1991 and is still going, so my hat's off to John Hart in keeping that thing going for this very long length of time. However, there have some issues with the kind of heaters that he used in the control system. So I started looking for heaters that were a little bit, had more energy output per unit area of the heater that was there, and I found these more FTE heaters. And in order to spread out the energy a little bit, started tipping them on the side. If you look at this diagram, the points are where we measured the thermal radiation coming down from it when it's tipped on its side, and you get a warming pattern that looks like this that we modeled then using an ArcGIS program. And then we had the concept, if we spread it out here, and then we come in and we turn on a heater going the opposite direction, you might get a heating pattern like that. And you can see you can start to fill in a little bit here. If you turn on six of them, well, we predicted we should be able to get a fairly uniform plot out there. And so with that encouragement, we built the heater system like this. And like Jeff said, it's got an infrared thermometer out there that measures the canopy temperature. And then there's a control system to automatically control the temperature rise of the heated plot versus that of the reference plot. So anyway, there's that same thermal image that Jeff showed just a little while ago. Indicates it does a pretty good job. There's a few places where soil is showing through, and those are instruments out there, but the vegetation is pretty uniformly warmed across the whole plot, and you really need that in order to go out there and sample a plant and know that it's got the same treatment as the another one that you go back and sample somewhere else in the plot a little bit later. Well, several people got excited about this. The very first experiment using this system went in China. And then the second one went in up in Cheyenne, Wyoming on this grass plot. And that's pretty cool in the sense that we just got a Nature paper out in this particular experiment. And then the third one to get going was ours in Maricopa that Jeff was just talking about. And it's been used up in Minnesota on tree seedlings. That's been going for several years now. And then about the same time, we started putting them out on this subplots within the Soy Face project in Illinois. This one you can see are actually got four heaters in each of these systems here. So they're doing a lot more warming than we were doing in Arizona and most of the other systems. It's been used in rice in China and grass in Kentucky, and so far there are about 17 of them are going, and there are two or three more online, so there are about 20 of them going on around the world right now or are going to be very soon. Well, what I want to talk about, those, they only got 3 meters out there and most of what we've been doing so far. And you can't do much with a 3 meter diameter plot. You really like a lot more plant material and several, and then basically we've been doing it with vegetation that's on the order of 1 meter tall. And so there's a lot of interest in being able to do it on trees even and things like that by the Forest Service. So started thinking out just how you can make these even bigger and then calculate how much it's going to cost to operate them and to do the experiments. In going through this analysis, and that's where we're getting into it, that I identified some different efficiencies that come into play. One I'm calling the radiometric efficiency, and that's the amount of thermal radiation or infrared radiation that we get out of the heater per amount of electricity that goes into the heater. Then there's a geometric efficiency, and that's the amount of the thermal radiation or the infrared heater that comes out of the heater that actually falls on the plot. A lot of it falls off the plot, and of course that isn't in use. And then the overall efficiency then is the product of the radiometric and the geometric efficiencies. I'm going to be talking a lot about the geometric efficiency this morning. If we, from heat thermal transfer equations that have been known for a long time, if you were to put a heater up here, which as I have, which is basically a black body emitting radiation at a certain temperature, and this is a plot element down here, you can go through a lot of geometry and figure out how much of the radiation must be hitting that particular pixel down here on the plot. And that's the equation that's being used to calculate that. In a paper, I'm not going to go through it this morning, but there's a fair amount of tricky trigonometry to get at what those terms are in this equation, but it's not all that bad. And then once that's done, you can go through and calculate how much is on this pixel and how much is on this one and this one and this one, and then figure out then what the distribution of radiation must be coming from that heater, or then you can start putting up more heaters and figure out what the whole thing is. And it's based on the tilt and the angles and all that sort of thing. Well, if you have one single heater pointed down, that's the kind of distribution that comes from it. It's very distinctly conical. There have been quite a few experiments done with just such a heater, but you can see that if you're going to talk about where the uniform radiation is, there's only a little bit of a peak up here, and so probably about only a half a meter wide plot that you could get out of there, you could call it radiation. So an awful lot of the radiation from that is falling outside of the plot, and the geometric efficiency, if we define a plot as 6/10 of a meter wide, is only about 7% of the thermal radiation that's useful. And then that's got a respectable variation across it. Now here's the theoretical one then for the hexagon, like the one that Jeff was talking about that we used at Maricopa. We got six heaters. The geometric efficiency jumps up to 37%. Still not all that high, because only a third of it then is actually useful energy that's falling on the plot. And coefficient of variation across the plot diameter is about 7%. So, you know, that's quite respectable. Now then, we start going a little bit bigger. We got this concept. Suppose we have one hexagon here, and then we tack on six more around the outside. And when we do that sort of thing, we can get the geometric efficiency up then to 58%. And this is largely because then we've got a lot of the heaters that are internal rather than just being on the periphery. And I've put down 20 meters down here, and this is an 8-meter one, but you can scale it up and down. And it looks like there's going to be an experiment starting in India pretty soon where actually the overall diameter is 8 meters, and this would be 3.2 then across here. But anyway, we're probably going to be using this design, and that's the kind of distribution then that you get from that particular configuration. Now, if 7 is good here, how about if we go to 19? This is the configuration then where you just keep going up and up. This is a 20-meter diameter plot. Now we've got the geometric efficiency up to 66%, and the Forest Service is buying into this one, and we're going to be constructing a prototype of this in Puerto Rico this coming winter. And so I'm looking kind of forward to that to see how that goes. But anyway, we get quite good distribution, and that's what that configuration will look like. I forget, some is good and more is better, right? There are quite a few people that are really worried about what's going to happen to tropical forests and so forth with global warming. They're a sink now. Are they going to stay that way? So this is kind of what we could do then to try to get up to this scale. Now, the big problem is that we don't have heaters. They get bigger and bigger. The biggest ones that the manufacturers commercially make are on the order of a meter kind of in diameter or width. So this, anyway, if we get up to a meter, 100 meters across, we can get very uniform things, and we get the geometric efficiency up to 84%, and that's largely because so many of the heaters are over the interior of the plot rather than all around the periphery. Well, in agricultural systems where we've got row crops, there's a lot of interest in not having circular plots but having square ones. A couple of the experiments are out there using 2 meter on a side square plots with the ones on the corners. That's not a bad way to do it. The geometric efficiency is 27%, so not great, not real good, but you can do the experiment. This one's a little bit better. We're getting up to 7 meters on a side here on this square experiment, where we would point the heaters, as you see, in these directions along here around the periphery and then have one in the middle. And if you do that, you can get the geometric efficiency up to 47%. And that looks pretty good. But there have been some experiments proposed to do this one, but no one's got the funding yet. So we'll wait and see if that one ever gets used. This one is being used. This is a long, narrow one. I call your attention to the difference in scale here. This is 20 meters long and only 2 meters wide. And in this case, the heaters are all along the edges and none on the ends. Geometric efficiency is not too bad, 48%. So anyway, that's what you can do. You can spread them out and make a really long plot with row crops. So back again to calculate what infrared efficiency is. We've been talking about the geometric efficiency. The next slide I'll talk about radiometric and then overall. The radiometric efficiencies, I think you probably can't read that from the back, but what this basically shows is up here at the top, the efficiencies of heaters that are on the order of a meter square are in this range up between 60 and 90%. The little ones down here, this is on the order of like that, are really pretty low. So the size of the heater is more efficient than the bigger it is. But this is about the biggest heaters that are available. Now if we take the overall efficiency, where we take big heaters and a lot of them, and we do that 199 hexagon one with a 100 meter diameter thing, we have efficiencies then on the order of 60 to about 75% versus wind speed here. Now here's the single hexagon 3 meter one down here, and you can see we're working in this range here. The 19 hexagon one is up in this range, and the 7 hexagon is in this range. So the bigger the heaters and the more of them, the more we can get the overall efficiency up there a little bit higher. Now I'm sure you all remember the talk I gave last year, where this is getting into how you predict the canopy temperatures and what the infrared heater requirements are. But basically, first thing to do is to calculate what the temperature is that you've got out there to start with. In the A3 or climatology micromet world, there's lots of theory out there about the best way to do that. But anyway, first thing you try to do is calculate, and I've, you know, programming ways to do that using counting for stability and so forth of the atmosphere. Anyway, you calculate what it is already. Then you set the temperature of the, up to what you want it to be. Bottom line is then you divide it by the overall efficiency, and then you can calculate how much it's going to cost to do the experiment. If we're working along here with the 3 meter plots, it costs about $6,800 for a whole year to, if you're going to do an alfalfa crop all year long. and about $6,000. That's pretty much in line with what people are observing. If you go to the 100-meter diameter plot, it's going to cost you about $2.3 million to warm that all year long. But think of all the money you'll save, because it's only about $300 per square meter compared to $1,000 per square meter through the year. So anyway, there is a economy of scale here, but the fact that you've got a heck of a lot more area is going up faster than you're saving per unit of area. So anyway, those are some figures then on how much these experiments are going to cost. And this talk that I just gave has now been accepted in theoretical applied climatology, and I thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Bruce. You know, it costs a Raja, it costs him about $6,000 a month for electricity for the growth chambers.
Okay. A month, yeah.
Questions, anybody? Yes?
I've not tried to do that.
Do you think it would be feasible?
Yes. And, it would be feasible. For instance, in that long line one, you could have more heaters per length of it at one end versus the other end and do it. Jeff.
First, a quick comment. One used it. I think so far everybody who's looked at this is thinking about simulating global warming in terms of raising the mean temperature. If electricity costs scary, I think a very attractive thing would be to use this for acute heat stress. And then you could do a lot of things. I mean, you could put on heat stress at different days, look at the developmental stages. But then my question to you, Bruce, is have you looked at the shading problem? See, with the cables here, the cables are outside the plot. When you get up to 200 heaters...
I have calculated the nadir shading from the heaters and all of those configurations that are there. I made the assumption, though, that the heaters themselves are going to be the bulk of the shading, and I didn't take into account the cabling. But the heaters themselves are significant. And so in the 100 meter, well, let's see, experiment that's going to be going on and with the prototype in Puerto Rico that the Forest Service is going to be building with the 19 one, it looks like the shading is going to be on the order of 15% or so. Yes.
Any idea what will happen as you use this with taller and taller vegetation?
Yes.
Outer levels are going to absorb and filter out the radiation, and the inner parts are going to stay a little cooler. What's your experience with that?
It works very well with 1 meter tall vegetation and 3 meter diameter plots. I'm pretty sure when we go to 20 meter diameter plots, we can do very well with 7 meter tall vegetation. When we try 20 meter tall vegetation and a 20 meter diameter plot, I think there's going to be some real issues that you're alluding to around the edges.
One more question.
James.
So temperature aside, one of the things we're changing in that also is the radiation environment massively. Is there any evidence that plants respond differently to a higher air temperature that's produced by a range of infrared radiators as opposed to simply an air that is warmer because it has more energy in it? Get the drift? Because we're looking to imply all sorts of things about plant response to air temperature, but really we're also looking at plant response to air temperature and a funky radiative environment that no plant has probably ever seen. Is that...
Okay, two responses. One is that this is changing the radiation regime, but it's not that different from what the sun does.